of precision pushes the boundaries for modern sporting rifle builds and machines receivers from custom forgings for added strength and durability. Aero Precision delivers top quality American-made products at an affordable price. AeroPrecisionUSA.com.
Let's do it again. Tom Gresham here. It is Gun Talk. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes, Gun Talk. Of course, it's heard, well, coast to coast, around the world, actually, and one of the biggest podcasts in the history of Apple. As far as in the hobbies category, we're number one all time. In leisure category, we're ranking really high. So however you want to find your Gun Talk, it's available to you anywhere. Well, what is this thing? What is this show we call Gun Talk? It's you and me and a bunch of our friends. We get together. We talk about guns and ammo and scopes and shooting and how to store your guns safely, how to use your guns responsibly, and what gun to buy. Because everybody wants to know, what should I buy? What should I buy? Well, I can help you out if you got a question. If you're new to guns, you're in the right place. If you're thinking about buying a gun, boy, are you ever in the right place. We can help you out with that. And look, here's the deal. And sometimes people are surprised by this when I tell them it's not for everybody. I don't subscribe to the idea that everybody ought to have a gun. That's your choice. It's right for some people. It may not be right for other people. And we can help you sort that out. If you have any questions, by all means, just give me a call. 866-TALK-GUN. We'll get you in here. Or you can call me at Tom Talk Gun. Handguns, rifles, shotguns, single shots, semi-autos, lever actions. I'll have more about that in just a second. Lever actions. And, you know, one of the things we like to talk about a good bit is when we get a chance to take somebody out to the range, either introduce somebody to shooting for the first time or taking somebody out who doesn't have a lot of experience and tuning them up and doing that. I had a chance to do that yesterday and went out with a couple of friends and the 12-year-old young boy, who has done a bit of shooting, but not a lot. And we're working on getting him ready for his deer season. We've got the youth deer season here in Idaho coming up. He hunted last year but did not get a deer. And we've been working on, okay, what rifle? Because he's not a real big kid and didn't really have a rifle with a short enough stock. So what we ended up with is going with the AR-15 and .223 or .556. Shooting some good Barnes ammo, not Barnes, Black Hills ammo, using the Barnes bullets. So it's Black Hills ammo loaded with the Barnes TSX bullets, which should be really good, say out to, I don't know, 300 yards, something like that. Almost no recoil. He shoots it pretty well off the bench. And yesterday, one of the things I did was work with him on the impromptu shooting positions. And so he had a shooting stick. And standing up, he's shooting with the stick, and it's wobbling around. He's trying to hit a target at 100 yards, and he's really struggling. And it's that old deal, the crosshairs are wobbling, and so, in typical fashion, this is what everybody does, is you try to time it so when the crosshairs kind of sweep across the target, you yank the trigger, and you time the shot. Well, all that amounts to is yanking the trigger and making sure you don't hit what you're aiming at. So we worked on that. I watched him shoot a little bit from standing position with the stick, shooting stick. I said, you know, have you ever shot from a sitting position? He had not. So I said, all right, give me the rifle. Sit down. And so I started helping him build a shooting position with his heels down, with his knees up. And we're trying to use the shooting stick, and that wasn't really working real well. So my buddy Brad hands me a bipod that he took off of one of his guns. So we hooked that up. So now he's in a shooting position with his elbows on his knees and using the bipod. And all of a sudden, it's really getting steady. And so I am sitting on the ground 2 feet from him, right there watching him shoot. And what I'm seeing, and this was interesting, I'm looking really close. I'm doing nothing but staring at his trigger finger, not watching anything else. Don't care what he hits. That's not my problem. And he's putting his finger on the trigger and then yanks it and then flicks his finger forward, takes it all the way off. Because he's been told, of course, to keep your finger straight. I said, after a while, I said, okay, I want you to keep your finger in contact with the trigger. Get it there, and then I said, don't worry about the sights. Just keep increasing pressure. Don't try to make it go off. Let it go off. You just increase the pressure, and at some point, it will go off. Don't sweat where it goes. And he did that a couple of times and made fair shots, but then he'd flick his finger forward. He said, okay, we're going to work on that, because if you do that, you can't have good follow-through. So then I'm having press the trigger, just keep pressing, don't worry about it. And that, by now, he's really comfortable because the crosshairs are not moving a lot. He's got a good steady position. I said, just keep pressing, 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 pressing. And it goes off, and he goes, oh. And all of a sudden, at 100 yards from his sitting position, he's shooting like 3 or 4 inch groups on a 100-yard target from this rifle. And now he's having fun because he's making hits. And so we're working on this and saying, you know, press the trigger. And then once you press the trigger, leave your finger in contact with the trigger so you can press it again, because you may need to shoot again. But don't flick your finger forward. Now you have to re-engage and start the process all over again. It worked really well. And we all had a good time, especially the adults, watching him improve quickly. And so now it's a case of we've got to get him the right gear, get him probably a good bipod to go on that rig, and maybe get a, instead of the shooting stick, I'm not really a fan of the single sticks, but like Bogpod has a little tripod you can hook up, others do, put that under the fore end. And then if you really want to be steady, you take that single stick and stick it in the back under the stock. And if you have to shoot standing, as if you're shooting over, say, sagebrush or something, you, if you have the time to set it up that way, you can get really steady. So we worked on that. We had a really good day at the range. It's just always fun to take somebody out and get them shooting better and work with it. And it's always the details, isn't it? It's always the details. And having somebody sit there and just watch and say, okay, let's talk about what you're doing here. Let's get you in a better position. You know, he shoots real well off the bench, and now it's a case of let's get him to where he's shooting well in the positions he's going to be using when he's hunting. So that was great fun. Tell you what, we'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'll tell you about some of the other things we shot. Oh, it was kind of a old-school day for us, like with old-style guns. We had a good time. What have you been shooting? Have you bought anything? We're pretty much open lines. If there's something on your mind or a question you have, 866-TALK-GUN. We'll be right back.
ATN offers Smart HD, Ultra HD, thermal and night vision rifle scopes, binoculars, monoculars, range finders, and more for hunters, outdoor enthusiasts, military, and law enforcement. With features like Bluetooth Wi-Fi, extended battery life, Ultra HD sensor resolution, and full HD video recording, cutting-edge technology meets quality parts in every ATN product. The future of optics is already here. Find your next optic at atncorp.com.
Visit guntalk.com/win to enter GunTalk's September Silence Giveaway. One grand prize winner takes home the CVA Cascade bolt-action rifle in 7mm/8, the Silencer Central Banish 30 suppressor, and $500 True Timber gift card. One first prize winner gets a $500 gift card to spend at truetimber.com. Enter now through September 30th at guntalk.com/win.
6 Hours P365, America's number one selling gun, features magazine capacities of 10+1, 12+1, or 15+1, and is available in multiple configurations, including the SAS with integrated bullseye sight, the XL with an extended 3.7-inch barrel, and the XL Romeo Zero with the Romeo Zero micro red dot sight. The P365 is easy to shoot thanks to an ergonomic design and clean, crisp trigger. 6 Hour, never settle.
And we're back with you. Tom Gresham here. It's 866-TALK-GUN if you want to get in here and chat a little bit. I walked into a gun store 4 days ago. Yeah, 4 days ago now, I guess it was. And actually went in there to buy a tag. an elk tag and got the tag, looked up on the wall, and there's a lever action. You know, I've been looking for a lever action for like 3 years. I've been talking about it. And I really wanted one in handgun caliber. And there's a Marlin 1894 in 44 Magnum, used. And yeah, it went home with me, of course. Took it out to the range yesterday with my buds, and it's 44 Magnum, but I'm shooting 44 Special with it. And you know how sometimes you just get that one shot? It's like your shot of the day, shot of the week, shot of the year, I don't know. First shot out of the thing, loaded up, target's out at 50 yards. Got one of those shoot and see 8-inch black bulls with a 1-inch red dot. And I'm shooting offhand with iron buckhorn sights with light loads, HSM Cowboy Action 44 Special loads. And shoot, it's just almost like this, it's almost like it doesn't go off. It's just the recoil is so light in a lever action like that. And shooting the 44 Special. And it's just like, wow, that felt so good. There's just nothing to it. And then I focused downrange because I've been on the sight, front sight. And the bullet actually touched the 1-inch red dot. I mean, I would have been happy just to hit the 8-inch bull just to find out where the gun shoots and everything else. It's like, okay, who else wants to shoot this? You don't think I'm actually going to shoot it again, do you, and screw that thing up? I mean, eventually we did, but everybody wanted to shoot it. Everybody had a great time. Man, that is so much fun. And, of course, I am, by buying that Marlin, that old used Marlin, you know that I have thus guaranteed that probably very soon Ruger will make the announcement that they will be coming out with the new Marlins, because we've all been waiting for so long for that. So I'm excited about those when they come out. I don't know when they're going to come out. Got tired of waiting. Finally got that one. That was just tons of fun. Tons of fun. Our number is 866-TALK-GUN. Terry called in. He's on 5 out of Springfield, Missouri. Hey, Terry, what's on your mind?
Well, I've been shooting 1911s and carrying them since 1967. And because of arthritis in my hand, I decided to switch over to 9mm. Ended up with an X5 Legion with a Romeo red dot, an X5 Terry with a Romeo red dot, and the 365 with a Hollis Sun.
Wow.
And I'm really trying to, really going to go whole hog into the 21st century here. And my only problem is I've been pushing up on a thumb safety and letting my hand off a grip safety every time I holster for a long time.
Okay, shoot 1911s.
Yeah, and I don't have either one of those on these, and I just sweat bullets every time I holster it.
Yeah.
I see a lot of young guys that don't seem to have that problem, but.
And you know, I love my 1911s. In fact, this young guy, we were showing him how to shoot his AR yesterday. I had him shoot a 9mm 1911. He had never shot a 1911 before. It was our old school day. And he fell in love with it. He's shooting little groups and having a ball. And just, I mean, he wanted to come back and say, anything, what else do you want to shoot? We've got all these guns laid out. He said, I want to shoot that one. He's pointing at the 9mm 1911. So he loved that. But, okay, so the question is, why do I like the 1911 with its thumb safety? And then when I go to a polymer pistol, I generally opt for guns without the external thumb safety. Is that what you're asking, basically? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Two or three reasons. One, all the polymer pistols pretty much now have some form of trigger safety so that if the trigger is not pressed, the gun won't go off. So, you know, you can't drop it and it goes off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. The other is, and I guess maybe this may be the bigger one for me. I love the thumb safety on a 1911. It falls right where it should. And with a lot of these other guns, the thumb safety does not fall where it should. They're tiny little appendix-type affectations that don't amount to much of anything. And I've tried, and I can't sweep those things off, so I'm missing them all the time. So what I end up doing is I end up carrying them with a thumb safety off all the time. And what that sets up is the possibility, if I'm used to drawing and shooting without sweeping the safety off, even though there's a safety there, one of these days I'm going to draw it and try to shoot it, and the safety came back on. You following me?
Yeah.
And it won't go off. And so I go, well, if that's the case, then I'm just going to shoot the ones without the safety. And I'm going to train to keep my finger off the trigger the entire time. When I'm holstering, my finger's going to be straight. I'm going to holster reluctantly, which means slowly. It's a compromise, and I don't know what the right thing is. I just know what's worked for me.
Well, I agree about the thumb safety being in the wrong place on just about every polymer pistol I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of the reasons. And maybe I should have just gone with a 9mm 1911. I've fired a couple, and they're wonderful.
They are the 9mm 1911 is like just so sweet. It's like the best dessert you ever had. You're just going, wow, that is fantastic. Now, look, I will say this. You did really well. And the pistols you end up buying, that lineup that you quoted, you got some really good guns there.
Yeah. And I figure I've got it. One for the USPSA and the rest for more serious use.
Sure. Yeah, exactly, for protection. You know, and the other thing I would say is if you would like to consider picking up a 9mm 1911, you got them in full size, also got them in commander size. Also, Ruger's got one lightweight made of alloy, and so it's really lightweight. It's not too hard on you. It doesn't kick a lot, and they shoot really well. So something to take a look at anyway.
A friend of mine just got a Wilson EDC 9.
Ooh!
And I'm thinking about selling everything.
Yeah, you pretty much have to. But and it's funny, I've looked at that Bill Wilson designed his pistol, and it's really sweet looking. I've not shot one. I would love to, though. And you know, obviously, anything Bill Wilson creates, you think, okay, I got to take a look at that because this guy really knows what he's doing and builds great pistols. So, tell you what, if you end up getting one of the EDC 9s, give me a call and give us a range report. I would love to know more about it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it, Terry. Thank you, sir. Let's jump down to Steve in Tulsa, Oklahoma on 4. Steve, you had cataract surgery. What happened?
Yeah, Tom's kind of strange because what ended up happening, the doctor recommended I get something called monovision, which basically means one eye is long range, the other eye short range.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know about something called eye dominance. So mm-hmm. I just said, you know, make the good eye, you know, short distance, make the bad eye, you know, the one that was not so great, make it long
mm-hmm.
distance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I can't see the front sights of any pistol or shotgun or rifle. I can't see the target, which is on the other side of the sights, because I guess the right eye was dominant, and that's what I would normally focus on the front sight with. And then the left eye, which was, you know, the not dominant, that's what I'd usually see the target or the deer. And I've tried scopes. Those don't help. I've tried red dots. Those don't help because I honestly can't see anything.
How long ago did you have the surgery?
It's been over 3 years, so it's been a long time, and I've tried adjusting it. And I've even tried going to the other hand, you know, instead of being the right-hand shooter, going to the left hand.
And I'm sorry you didn't hear me. I mean, for years I've been telling everybody, when you get eye surgery, when you get cataract surgery, do not let them do the monovision thing on you. They all want to do this. They'd say, well, you can read with one eye, you can see far with the other eye. Yeah, but you're not a shooter, are you, Doc? Here, let me explain. Let me bring a pistol in here and show you where I need to be able to focus that front sight thingy right there. Monovision is a whole. And to make things worse, when you try to shoot a shotgun, it's an abomination. It's just awful.
It is. It's terrible. It's like you have almost like two barrels and you're going, what is going on?
Yes. No, exactly right. And I'm sorry that you went through that. Now, let me ask you this. Are you right eye dominant?
I think so, because that's what I would usually see the sights through.
And are you shooting? You're trying this with a pistol right now? Is that the issue?
Pistols or rifles, either one. You know, because
and you shoot both of them right-handed.
I do.
Okay. And so which eye has the near vision?
The right eye.
And you can't see the front sight well with it?
I cannot.
What do you know what distance he set that up for?
For a computer screen. So it's about, you know, maybe, what, about 3 feet? And, you know, my arm about that long.
I just going to say, it should be pretty close.
Yep.
You know what I would do? You're not going to hear this, but I'd go back to the doctor and say, this is not working. We're going to need to do something else. They can change the lenses out.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. You know, I'd much rather see, you know, close up and at least be able to see what's going on in front of me where my hands work. And then, you know, use optics for something further down range or, you know,
well, I'm going to suggest going the other way.
Set up
your eyes for long distance and then use glasses for reading and everything else.
Okay.
Here's why. Do you do much shotgunning at all?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Okay. You want your distance, you want both eyes to be set for distance vision. Because with shotgunning, you keep both eyes open, you're looking at the target, you shouldn't see the barrel at all, and you're just swinging on it. If you can't get a hard focus on that target out there, you're hopeless. You can't do anything. For everything else, you can get glasses. You know, and I know people have, like, they got my shooting glasses, I got my reading glasses, I got my computer glasses. You can get them set up for all of those. And that's, you know, it's a pain, and we get to this point where we're all, you know, we've got our surgery. I mean, I got LASIK and cataract. And, you know, well, that's okay, because now I have a built-in alibi every time I miss. So it works out just perfectly.
I like that. That's great.
I would go back and have a conversation with a doc or another doc, because, you know, a couple hundred years ago with my vision, I would have been the village idiot. Of course, some say I still am, but that's a whole different issue. 866-TALK-GUN, what's on your mind? We are wide open today on Gun Talk. We'll be right back. Very interesting stuff going on out of North Carolina, the governor, Governor Roy Cooper, he could have ended the state's Jim Crow era law where you're required to get permission, a permit to buy a pistol. You have to get it from the local sheriff. The legislature repealed that law, and the governor vetoed that repeal. Keeping in place the Jim Crow era law, which is known to discriminate against African American gun buyers, which is why it was created in the first place, was to be able to get the sheriffs to be able to say, no, you don't get to have a gun. The governor went further. He said he'd like to sign more gun control laws. He says gun permit laws reduce gun homicides and suicides, and reduce the availability of guns for criminal activity. Utter nonsense, of course, right out of the playbook of the gun ban lobby. I got another story I'll get to you in just a minute, one of those you got to be kidding me stories, kind of a study, which is really not really a study at all. But we'll get to that in a sec, because it's kind of amazing as the Supreme Court has become more conservative and as courts across the country have been supporting gun rights and shutting down gun control laws, the gun control lobby, the gun control industry has ramped up its efforts, and they're getting more and more strident and more desperate in their efforts. I'll give you a little bit more information about that in just a second. But first, let me talk with Bill on 5 out of Ridgeland, Mississippi. Hey, Bill, you're on Gun Talk. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Great. Thank you.
Going back to a few calls back with regarding the 1911, you know, as opposed to the modern polymer striker fired pistols,
right.
I was always a 1911 guy and still love them. But back in January, I walked into my local gun store and they had a used SIG P320 compact.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say used, like, I got it home, pulled the foam out, and the previous owner had bought it in December, and for some reason sold it a month later.
Oh, my.
And okay. it was at a price I just couldn't let it go.
Right.
So I bought it, and let me tell you what, it was an eye-opener. The trigger is every bit as good as a 1911. The whole modularity concept of it, it came with the Wilson Combat grip module as well as the original. And I didn't care for the Wilson Combat when they kind of look like Spider-Man's pistol. So I put the original one back on. And I have since bought a couple more. Like I got the X-Carry grip module, and I also bought one in Flat Dark Earth. It did take me a while getting used to the sights, and I did replace the front sight, which I think it comes from the factory with a number 6, which I replaced with a number 8 because I was consistently low with it.
Okay, but so you went with a shorter sight to raise it up, shorter front sight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, and the whole SIG sight numbering system takes a while to wrap your mind around. I'll give it that. But, you know, ordered the replacement sight from SIG and got that put in, and now I'm spot on with it. And, like, I'm going to go out and buy the full-size one when I can find one here locally.
The 320 concept is fascinating because the actual firearm is that little part inside, isn't it?
Right, yeah. I think they call it the fire control unit.
Right. And so everything else, the grip, everything else is not really part of the gun. You can, you talk about modular, it's along the lines of an AR-15 where you can change pretty much everything around it. Grip, sight, slide, I mean, size, everything. It's kind of ingenious. Well, there's a reason that the U.S. military picked that up, and that's what they're using now.
Oh, yeah. I've got two boys that are active duty, and my youngest one, when he showed up at Christmas, he had just purchased the M17, and when I fired it, I said, oh, my God. It's like you almost couldn't tell that you had engaged the trigger. And that's kind of what piqued my interest about it. And when I walked in there into the gun shop and saw one with 3 magazines, 2 grip modules for, like, you know, I don't know if you were allowed to name prices, but it was ridiculous.
Sure. What'd you pay?
$529.
How'd you like to make $50?
Yes. I could not believe it. And, like, and concerning the fact it had 3 magazines, and let me tell you what, SIG is proud of their magazines. And
oh, yes. Yes, like, indeed.
I haven't had a smile on my face that big in a long time. So,
that's terrific.
Know, I'm 58 years old. If there's any other old-timers out there like me that are like, you know, 1911, 2 World War, blah, 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 check out this SIG. It's something to believe. I never like Glocks strictly because of the grip angle, but this—that's
so funny. Because same with me. I cannot. Hand. Yeah, the grip angle is wrong for me with them, but yeah, the what is it? I think it's a 17-degree angle. I'm pulling a blank now. That John Browning did on the 1911. It's like any gun that does that same angle, it fits me really well.
Yep, that's me. So I'm just saying, you know, anybody that's hard-headed old guy like me, you know, old dogs can learn new tricks.
All right, I'm going to make one suggestion to you, okay? You may have already done it, all right? SIG has what they call a voluntary upgrade program for the P320. It's basically, and it's in another name, it's a recall. But if you'll check out, go to the SIG website, you can see all about the P320 voluntary upgrade program and see if yours qualifies. It may already have done it, or it may be outside of the serial number range where you have to do it. But as long as you've got the P320, you know, check the serial number, just put it in there, and it'll tell you if you qualify or not, okay?
Things I did, and it was post-recall.
Okay.
Number callback. So I already did that. The one thing I wish they would do, be familiar with the gas pedal attachment?
No.
It's like the takedown pin. It's enlarged so your thumb can sit on it.
Okay.
However, I shoot lefty, and so they don't make one so that pin will sit on the opposite side of the frame and where mm-hmm. I can rest my thumb on that side. But one of these days, they'll come out one, you know, us left-handers are like the last people that gun manufacturers think about. So
okay, and now I'm going to really ruin your day. I'm going to give you one more website to memorize, okay? Okay. You familiar with Gray Guns, GRAYGUNS?
Uh-huh.
Bruce Gray does fabulous mods on these guns, on SIGs, particularly the P320. If you go to grayguns.com, take a look at everything he does. You never know what he's going to be coming up with that you're going to want to add to that pistol. So take a look at that. Look, I got to scoot. I'm over time on hitting my break here, but I appreciate that. Congratulations on scoring big with that SIG P320. They are really excellent pistols. 866-TALK-GUN. Give me a holler.
Ammo is scarce and expensive. What can you do to keep your trigger finger happy? Try PyramidAir.com. With air guns, you can shoot for just pennies per round. And there's no better place to find thousands of air guns, ammo, and accessories than at Pyramid Air. You can also skip the hassle of getting to a range because you can shoot in your backyard, basement, or nearly anywhere. Shop today at PyramidAir.com.
Remington Ammunition's Arkansas factory is making millions of rounds of green and yellow box ammo every day. From UMC to Wingmaster HD, look for your favorite loads back on shelves. And with the introduction of Remington's new cord-locked tipped, the deadliest mushroom in the woods is even deadlier. Classic hard-hitting cord-locked performance meets improved accuracy and long-range potential to make this season the deadliest yet. Big Green is back. Visit Remington.com. Whether mounted on your gun, in your pocket, or in your glove box, a quality flashlight can be a lifesaver. Count on Surefire's illumination tools to defend you and your loved ones when it matters most. Designed, engineered, and precision machined in the USA for more than 40 years, Surefire is the ultimate in performance and reliability. Go with the proven performer. Go Surefire.
Talk Gun gets you in here. I'm Tom Gresham. This is Gun Talk. If you just landed here and wondered, what is all this talk about guns? Well, we're the good guys and gals. We're the ones that own, buy, shoot, store, collect firearms and ammo and scopes and everything else. Honestly, we're pretty much the ones you don't hear a lot about in the news because nobody writes about the people who do it right and don't cause problems, right? And part of that is the reason that you have, or you, not maybe you, but some people have, a skewed opinion or idea about gun ownership in America, because if all you ever hear is the bad things, you think that that's all that ever happens. And you don't know about the 100 or 110 million Americans who own guns safely, responsibly, don't cause accidents, don't commit crimes. We're just kind of the folks out there doing it, and it's not a problem. I mean, ultimately, we all are trying to make things safer and better, and a lot of us work actively at that, but we aren't the problem. The problem is pretty easy to identify. You catch the criminals, you don't let them go. Gee, what a concept, huh? Hey, let's talk to Michael in Shreveport. He's on one. Hey, Michael, what's going on here, man?
Just everything.
Okay.
Reason why I'm calling is because I have a handicap. I'm dyslexic.
Okay.
Highly dyslexic. I have a reading problem. Now, I could fill my paperwork out and stuff like that on the 4473. But since they changed these up, things up, I need somebody to read the answers to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, yes, no. I know I just need to have the answers read to me because, like I said, I'm highly dyslexic. Anyway,
right.
I've been going to a number of gun shops right here in Shreveport, and I cannot get nobody to read to me. the deal. They said it's against ATF, said it's coaching. I can't get nobody to read to me. And I said, well, okay, is it be okay if I bring my wife with me where she could read the answers to me and I could fill it out, you know? And they told me no. And then I asked a gentleman, well, what happens if you have a blind guy comes in here and he has trouble filling out the 4473? What do y'all do with a blind person? Because I know several blind people that target shoot.
Right.
And they said, we don't do Braille.
Okay. Okay. First of all,
that's not the half of it. Now, I'm computer illiterate. I have a hard time with these new computer pads and stuff like that. Like, I went to a store that does the coup, and I asked the gentleman, could you show me how to work this computer thing? Mm-hmm. And also read these questions to me. He told me, no. Now, I'm not going to give the name of these businesses because I wouldn't think it's right.
Well, I'm wondering here, and I don't know. This is the first time I've ever run into this. I'm wondering if maybe a call to your local ATF agent or our office wouldn't be a way to go and just say, look, this is what I'm running into. I can handle a gun safely. I can own a gun safely, everything else. It's just being dyslexic, I have a lot of trouble filling out the form. And my stores are telling me that they can't help me because that would be coaching. Is there something we can do? I would think maybe if you'll call your local ATF office and ask them, you might be able to get some help that way. In the meantime, I mean, and because this is the first time I've run into this, I don't have an answer for you off the top of my head. I just don't know. I'll try to do some digging on it, but that's not going to help you right now and, you know, on this call, but at least I'll know something about it as we go along. But that would be my first thought, is for you to call the ATF office locally and talk to them about it and say, look, how do we go about this? How can I accomplish this and still stay within your rules and get the gun stores to work with me on that? That would be basically my course of action to offer for you, okay?
Yes, sir. Well, I know this. I was one of the very first ones here in Shreveport due to Eddie Eagle program. In fact, I did 7 parishes, the Eddie Eagle program with the NRA.
Wow. That's true.
I worked 20 years with wildlife fisheries here in Louisiana, doing hunter education and firearm safety. I passed our test. They gave me an oral test, and I passed it. And I've done thousands of people with gun safety and stuff like that. And here I am, 71 years old, and I didn't have no problem buying a gun about 2 years ago. Now, this just no matter about 2 weeks ago, I've got trouble buying a gun.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would check with ATF, see if they can suggest something. And in the meantime, and the other thing is just keep calling a gun store. See if you can find a gun store that can help you out with that thing. I think, you'll be able to find something that will work for you. And I wish you luck with it. I appreciate the call, sir. Yeah, that's something that I had not run into before, hadn't thought about, honestly. If you're dyslexic, you need some help. You can figure out the answers. You need some help reading the form, and somebody can read them to you and tell you what's going on. And I did not know about the whole deal of coaching, and it probably runs right up against the whole idea of straw buyers, somebody who's really buying the gun. So maybe there's something that can be done there. Garrett, don't go anywhere. We're going to get to you. It sounds like something interesting happened at the range. We'll talk about that. Also, we are wide open if you want to join us, 866-TALK-GUN, or call me at Tom Talk Gun because, that's me. I'm Tom. Tom Gresham here. We'll be right back with more Gun Talk. I do understand that the gun ban industry, the gun ban lobby, the folks, the groups, the money that wants to ban your guns and to take away your guns and to strip away your gun rights, they have to go over the top a lot because most of what they say is wrong, factually incorrect. But every once in a while you see a piece, you go, wow, that was really interesting. It was amazing. This comes from the Center for American Progress, a super leftist liberal group, pushing gun control a good bit. But the article study with big air quotes around the word study. Study talks about how Wisconsin has seen a dramatic increase in gun-related violence connected to concealed carry. Ever since Wisconsin got concealed carry and people could start carrying guns hidden, they always like to say hidden, concealed, for self-protection, crime has gone up. Crime has gone up. Massive increase in crime rates. And this piece goes on and on and on. And it quotes crime rates and increases and people, number of people who have concealed carry permits. And it's all footnoted. And it looks like a real study. You know what is missing from it, I found? Because I kept looking and saying, it's got to be in here. I mean, that would be the crux of the matter. What's missing in this is any information about the number of people with carry permits who have committed crimes. They say this increase in crime started when Wisconsin got concealed carry. Might be true, might not be true. But correlation is not causation. If it were, if they could document that concealed carry holders are committing crimes, that would have been the lead in the story. That would have been their thing, right? But nowhere in this multi-page study, honestly, is a horribly dishonest piece, in my view. Nowhere in here do they ever state that people who have concealed carry permits are committing crimes. They're just saying, well, Wisconsin has concealed carry, and Wisconsin has an increase in crime. Therefore, they're leading you to believe that the fact that Wisconsin has concealed carry has resulted in there being crime. That's like saying, birds have two legs, Bob has two legs, Bob is a bird. It doesn't work that way. It's called syllogism. Just more of the same. We'll be able to document this as it goes along because they're doing a lot more of this as they become more desperate. Garrett's in Virginia Beach. Garrett, what happened to you, man, with your Mossberg shockwave?
Hey, so it's actually my Sunday school teacher's shockwave. I went shooting with him a couple weeks back. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, so for people that don't know, those shockwaves are short barrels, or really short barrel and talon grip, so they're non-NFA items. And I wasn't holding onto that thing as hard as I should. And mm-hmm. when I pulled the trigger, that thing leapt right out of my hands. The next thing I know, that talon grip is on the ground. Ooh. And I'm looking down the barrel of a 12-gauge shotgun. Thank Lord it already fired.
Yeah, and there's not a lot to hold on to. They got that kind of little grippy thing, and it's a little short barrel thing, and it's not a shotgun, it's not a rifle, it's not a, you know, it's like this other thing. And, you know, and look, I appreciate the call. I appreciate being able to share that information. You got to get a good grip on those. I love the folks at Mossberg. I love the products they make. I am not a fan of the Shockwave or any of other products along those lines. For me, a shotgun, you get a shotgun that has a stock on it. I'm not even a fan of the cruiser type pistol grip. I like shotguns that have stocks on them. Get it shorter if you want to, shorter stock, and learn to use it. I mean, those things work. They're tested and they're functional too.